Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I'm sitting here at the bright red desk on Super Bowl Sunday, February 5th, 2017. Whether you're a Patriots fan or you're rooting for Atlanta, forward we go. I think it's Atlanta. We're having the Super Bowl today, and we're also having a lot of energy in the sky. So what we do every year, every night, every week here on the Weekly Weather is we talk about the weather in the week ahead, what it's going to be and how to get there and what to do with it. And this week's a little exciting because we're in what we call eclipse season. And those of you who are longtime listeners know I go, the eclipses are coming, the eclipses are coming. So we're in the approach to eclipse season, and we're actually in it now. And there is an eclipse this week on Friday. And interestingly, the Sabian images for the eclipse are a big bear sitting down and waving all its paws, and a bareback rider in a circus thrills the excited crowds. So that means we're going to have an interesting week ahead. And this eclipse that we have this week is culminating August of 2015, what was going on for you back then. And, of course, eclipses take us back in 19-year increments. So you're going to go back to the eclipse that was going on in 1998, February of 1998, and if you're old, February of 1979. This eclipse is at 22 degrees of the Leo Aquarius axis. It's a full moon, and it is juicy, and it's pretty exciting, actually, on a lot of levels. Interestingly, the degree of rising is 18 degrees Virgo, which, in addition to being my sun sign, is the presidential assassination degree. Not that we're saying anything's going to happen, but when Nancy Reagan had this activated, when it was at 18 Pisces, that's when she took off last year. So this is a big leader departure degree. So we've had George Bush be a little ill, hopefully not him. But we'll kind of watch for our, or just plain old departures, not necessarily getting shot. But this is a very important degree for the U.S. This is the degree of 9/11, the rising sign at 18 Virgo. This is the degree of laying the block in the Pentagon in September 11th, 1941. So it's a very sensitive degree in the U.S. chart, and it's very active right now. And it's going to be really active on this eclipse, and it's also bringing back whatever was going on in August of 15. There was a new moon, and there was a Venus star point. And then last year, in the time of Taurus, when we had this on May 5th, 6th in there. There was an opening quarter. So kind of think about those as you're working with this energy of this full moon eclipse. Now, what eclipses do is they help us see something we hadn't seen before. The other thing they do is they wrap up the story that happened in September. Now, in September, when we had the eclipse, that was when we had also the Eris-Uranus conjunction. And Hillary fell at, 9/11, kind of tipped over down there. And there was a bunch of stuff about her health. And there wasn't anything about Donald. And I kept going, where's Donald? What's Donald? Because in June, they both were big in the news. She broke the glass ceiling, and I think that's when he got the nomination. Ted Cruz dropped out. So I was like, where's Donald? So we had that whole golden shower thing with Russia surface in September, but we didn't hear about it. It was just happening in Congress and in Washington. So we should hear about it this week because, as I mentioned, one of the Sabian images is the big bear waving its paws, big bear sitting down and waving all its paws. So one, we'll watch for bear imagery as well as circus imagery in the news, and two, we'll also watch for that story because Russia is considered the bear in the north in the Book of Revelations when they talk about the bear in the north and the Yellow Sea in the west or in the east. So, we're kind of apocalyptic here, not saying it's coming, just saying look at the symbols as we work with this energy. So eclipses also open up a story, and we're going to go back to whatever was going on in September for you when you became aware of some stuff. And this month, we're going to kind of close it down. we're going to say, okay, that was then, this is now, let's release and move on to the next chapter. And so there's this big releasing energy that's going to take place this week on the full moon. Of course, the moon is first, and then at the end of the month, on February 26th, we have the new moon in Pisces, last degrees on the south node. So we're closing up a big chapter this next couple weeks. First, we're getting very emotional this week, and then we're going to be closing those emotions down to initiate new energy. This eclipse will close up in August. So the story that opens up now, we're going to work on through August, and we're going to figure out what it is. And that eclipse is big because it's on the world axis on the February 7th, and it's on Donald's ascendant and his Mars on August 21st, 22nd. So these are really big eclipses because they're very active in the U.S. chart. This eclipse that we're having this week is on the U.S. moon. So there's a lot of energy in the world, and particularly in our world here in the United States, not to disrespect people in foreign lands, but foreign listeners, but to understand that the energy really wants to pump us into a whole new place. And so your job, you know, should you decide to accept it, is to know this week's emotional, and it's culminating, and you're going to see something you hadn't seen before, and you're going to go, wow, I never saw that before. And you're going to go, now what do I have to do with it? Because that's what happens on eclipses. They bring to light something. They puncture a bubble. Now, it's often a situation that's been living around for a while. It's been in place for a while. It just wasn't brought to our attention in quite the same way as it gets brought to our attention under an eclipse when we go, oh. And so you want to kind of think February 98, February 79, August of 15, last September, blend the stories, see what shows up. And again, the idea of eclipses is similar to lancing a boil or picking a really juicy pimple or, you know, releasing something. It's often a little messy, okay? And this one's in fire and air, so it's a passionate eclipse. And I remember my dad telling a story when he was a beginning medical student. He was doing his internship, you know, they're working on the people in the hospital, and he was on the emergency room, and this guy came in with this huge 3 or 4 inch boil on the back of his neck. And my father was like, wow, that's big. And he lanced it, cut a hole into it, and blood and guts and, you know, that white pussy stuff everywhere. All over, but the guy was like so happy because he made him feel better. But my father felt bad because he forgot to say to the guy, you know, maybe you should take your shirt off first. So the guy's shirt was just a mess because he lanced, you know, he was new, you know, he lanced the boil and blah. So watch for the boil that's getting lanced in your world. And it's getting lanced in your Aquarius Leo house at 22 degrees. And your job when it gets lanced to go, wow, that got lanced. Now what do I do with it? Because it's a very potent energy and it's very powerful. Now we have a couple other things this week that are going on because it's, of course, a three-page week. It is eclipse season, so we're going to have a three-page week, excuse me, to go along with that. The other thing to remember is the moon is moving very rapidly right now. Mercury cleared his shadow. He's done with it. Vesta is still out of bounds and is moving backwards slowly, but she's out of there. So the home and hearth is very disrupted, as we've been talking about this last couple weeks. Excuse me. The energy of the T-square is pumping out into the Cancer house. So wherever you have Cancer in your chart, the sign of Cancer, especially in the 20s, anywhere between 18 and 24, 25, receiving a lot of energy. And what the Cancer response is then is to go to your moon. So whatever your moon is, your moon wants to take care of that Cancer house because the Cancer house is preverbal. It doesn't have words. It doesn't have a way to talk. It doesn't have a way to express itself. So it does primary comforting activity, whatever that is. If you're a Gemini, you talk. If you're a Pisces, you sleep. If you're a Cancer, you eat. So just kind of watch what your chart is really feeling emotionally driven to do, because this week we have a lot of activity in the sky, and we also have that eclipse, which is bringing to light a bunch of things that are emotionally hidden or hanging out below the surface that want to come to light. Now, Mars, on the eclipse degree, is conjunct Cassandra, the asteroid. So Mars is in Aries, and it's very prophetic, and it often says this is what's going on. Saturn is conjunct the asteroid Hygieia, inviting us to change our health habits or to shift them into something new. We also have Saturn on a fixed star that allows us to see things that we haven't seen before, so we can expect unusual things to come to light under this eclipse. Okay, so just know. Now, we're in eclipse season, so it runs until 2 weeks into March. It runs until March 12th. So, high energy, high emotions, high feelings, people a little out of control, and I know you're going to go, yeah, they've been out of control for a while, even more out of control. Venus and Mars are now both in Aries, so they're moving closer, and they're going to stimulate all those things. And as the moon moves through the T-square this week on the 7th and the 8th, it's going to stimulate stuff. And then it comes to form a grand trine in fire with Saturn and Uranus. Of course, I sat down to do the radio show, and as I sat down, I thought, I don't have any water. And then I went, I don't need water, and I need water. So let's do the moons. Everybody get your moon pens out, and let's do the moons. Okay, so today the moon is in Gemini. The closing aspect today is a Mars opposite, a moon opposite Saturn. So today and tomorrow we're separating aspects, meaning you're going to be leaving something behind, letting it go. Gemini moon is all about the communication, the connection, the talking, the collaboration, and how we get there. Then the moon goes, it's void tomorrow night at 5:53, Monday the 6th, 5:53, and it's void all night until 2:03 in the morning, Tuesday morning, when it goes into Cancer. In Cancer on the 7th and the 8th, the moon is goes void with a square to Jupiter. Moon square Jupiter is a bit of overdoing. So it overdoes. It's not a bad thing. It's an overdoing. But because the last thing it does is square Jupiter right before it opposes Pluto and squares Uranus, we can anticipate Tuesday's a rockin' and rollin' day, one of those wild, out-of-control kind of days. And we're going to have a lot of them as planets go through every few days. The moon's going to spend 2.5 days stimulating that T-square. In this case, it's going to make all of us double down on our emotional stuff. So really watch for going off the rails with how you need to be emotionally comforted on Tuesday and Wednesday. The moon goes void at 5 p.m. on Wednesday night, and it's void on Thursday until 4:41 in the morning when it goes into Leo. At 4:41, it's in Leo, and it's in Leo on Thursday and on Friday, and then it goes void at 12:52 a.m. Saturday morning with a trine to Saturn. So Thursday and Friday have a good closing aspect of a trine, but they also happen to have a lunar eclipse. And what happens when you have a lunar eclipse is things come to light, you see them, but you see them in a high emotional way. Now, some people go, why are eclipses so much more emotional? Because they're next to the node of fate. So what happens is they're fated turning points. We find out something that's our fate, and we go, wow, that's my fate. And it course corrects us. And also it's the time twice a year when the sun and the moon meet up, when our emotional nature and our past lives and our things that we're carrying emotionally through our life meet up with our ego nature, our sun, our purpose, our reason for shining in the world. Those two guys meet up in the sky. They only get to hang out with each other for a month, 2 months a year, and not even that long, really, just, you know, 24-hour period. But this is when they meet. So in that same way, you have that anticipation of, I haven't seen them in 6 months, and now I'm going to see them. And then you're a little nervous, and then you're a little excited, and then you see them, and then you're like, now I don't get to see them for another 6 months. So it's got a real high climax and a real big drop. So the moon in Leo is Thursday, Friday, and then it goes void 12:52 on Saturday night. And then it goes into Virgo bright and early at 8:52 on Sunday morning, Saturday morning the 11th, and it's in Virgo Saturday, Sunday. And then it goes void with a square to Saturn early Saturday morning, Monday morning at 7:36 on the 13th. So week is pretty emotional because of the eclipse, and pretty emotional because the moon in Cancer is going to activate the whole T-square. In other words, it's not siding with any one planet. First, it is opposing Pluto on Wednesday morning. Then it is squaring Uranus on Wednesday afternoon at 1:52, adjust for Eastern time. And then it is opposing Jupiter at 5 p.m. on the 8th. So it's a lot of energy. Now, the other thing that's happening this week, which is always kind of an interesting energy, is Jupiter is stationing to go retrograde. Jupiter's been in its shadow, stopping since the 1st of February. It stations to go retrograde on Monday. And when Jupiter goes backwards, what he does is he says, okay, everything you've been working on since the week after the election, since November, we're going to revise that, we're going to revisit that, we're going to change it, we're going to look at it and see if we want to shift it and do something else. So Jupiter's going to go backwards to the degree of 13:13 Libra. Right now, he is stationing at 23:08 Libra. So Jupiter's going to go backwards. And he's going to, you know, kind of stir the pot as he goes back, including squaring Pluto two more times. Now, Uranus and Pluto were fighting from 2010 to 2015. And this year, Jupiter's carrying messages back and forth between those two guys. So they had a breakup. They stopped talking to each other. Pluto sent a message last September. Uranus did not respond. But now Jupiter's going back and forth, and he's getting them to try and talk, right? He's getting them to kind of – and you've ever had this happen where you have two friends and they have a falling out, and then you go out for dinner with them, either one of them, and they both talk about the other one. And you're kind of like, well, you know, you guys are still talking about each other. It's not over yet, because it's not, because the Jupiter is aspecting the Pluto and the Uranus. So this is a really good opportunity to renegotiate things as Jupiter goes backwards between now and when he goes direct again, or to reconfigure or to rethink about or replay, revisit, revise, Jupiter retrograde, revising. All the people that have Jupiter retrograde natally in their chart, this is when they get really busy. And this is also when Jupiter says, you know, I was moving forward since the fall, but now I'm changing my mind. So everything that happened from the September 10th to right after the election stays in place. It means we're not getting rid of Donald yet. But to Jupiter, for those of you who like Donald, Donald's still around. But now we're going to revise the story or the ideas or the structure of how things are set up because of the retrograde. So it's an interesting time. And the retrograde, of course, feeds into the Jupiter going backwards is going to feed into the Uranus, and it's going to feed into the Pluto. It'll square the Pluto and oppose the Uranus. So it's a big time, and it's important energy that we're paying attention to. So that's kind of the Jupiter retrograde this week. The other thing that happens is Mercury's going into Aquarius. Now, Mercury has been in Capricorn. He was in his shadow up until last week from the Mercury retrograde in Cap. He's going into Aquarius, where he's only going to stay until the 25th of the month. He's very chatty in Aquarius. He's also really smart. So Mercury in Aquarius is considered his exaltation. And when he enters Aquarius, we're going to find that we're really working with a highly evolved, really visionary, and very special Mercury. That happens bright and early Tuesday morning. So I will encourage all of you who are working on proposals or working on writing or working on submitting stuff for scripts or working on, you know, some kind of writing gig that you want to really shine on, anytime after Tuesday, get cracking on that baby, because it's time to get it out the door or moving forward. As I mentioned at the beginning of the hour, we're on a three-page week, which means we have a lot of aspects in the sky causing excitement and doing fun things and keeping us, you know, out of trouble and busy, busy in the world. So we're going to have a super busy week, especially midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday. this week, the sun is going from 18 Aquarius to 24 Aquarius. So he's moving a clip a day, and he's going to be aspecting Vulcanus. No, I'm sorry. He's going to be aspecting Zeus on February 7th, which gives him kind of a rocket booster energy. He also is going to be sextiling Uranus on February 9th. So the sun in Aquarius, sextile Uranus and fire, aside from the cautions we've been having lately about being careful with fire, usually that's a really good idea. And that's going to happen around 4 in the afternoon on the 9th. So kind of pay attention to who you're meeting on February 9th. That's a Thursday. What's that brilliant idea? Then the sun has a sextile to Eris at 11:20 p.m. on February 10th. And that's the energy of the angry feminine, but that's on also, that's right after the eclipse has happened. And I don't think I gave you the eclipse time. The eclipse time is at 7:33 p.m., so we should be able to see it here in the United States, provided it's not cloudy. And then the other eclipse is the sun trines Jupiter on February 11th, Jupiter retrograde. That's next Saturday. So these are all very positive aspects from the sun. Now, the sun is considered in its detriment in Aquarius. So he's not passionate about things. He's very clear. He's able to see things. He's able to be dispassionate, which, of course, usually our egos are not. But he's able to look at the picture from a big picture point of view. So this is big picture week, big picture. Let's get the big visionary picture. Very broad strokes. Mercury this week going from 26 cap to 7 Aquarius. He's picking up. So he's doing almost 14 degrees in 2 weeks, in a week, so almost 2 degrees a day. And as he finishes up the Capricorn, he's going to catch up to the sun, or he's going to try and catch up to the sun. As we get to when he enters Aquarius on February 7th, he gets really, really smart. And then right after that, he has a parallel with the sun, and he helps us really understand things around 3 in the afternoon on the 7th. And then he has a lot to do with communication. Faces an interesting and or difficult choice on February 9th, Thursday, February 9th, about how to proceed when he aspects the nodes of fate. But he has a nice relationship with Venus on the 10th, around 4:18 in the afternoon on Friday, where he and Venus are kind of going, can we just kind of sit down and chat like we used to? So that's a great time to connect with old folk or to connect with people that you haven't seen in a bit. It's a very friendly little chunk of time. Venus moving pretty quickly. She's moving from 1 degree Aries to 5. But because she's kind of in a new sign and there isn't much available for her, the only thing she has this week is on February 7th is an adjusting aspect to the nodes of fate. So she's kind of quiet. Mars is going from 6 Aries to... page 2, 11 Aries. So what he's going to be doing is helping us take action. In the beginning part of the week, he's also quiet and not doing much. So those two, while they're in the early signs, they're kind of hanging out together. And what you can do if you have planets in the early degrees of the cardinal signs or the early degrees of anything, these planets are going to want to be starting something. So they can stimulate things in your chart while they're not busy in the sky. So your job is to say, gee, let me think about what my dream and my desire are, Venus, and let me figure out how I can get there, Mars. And then when they get a little further along and they get entangled in the mess that's in the heavens, they're going to be preoccupied. But right now you can use them for your own good and kind of say, gee, you know, I kind of want to get this started on this. On February 11th, Mars is a little bit blindsided by someone else's dream, or by someone saying to him, you can't have that dream, that's my dream, or that's mine, you can't have that. But aside from that, a little wet blanket on February 11th, the rest of the week's pretty nice. Jupiter stations retrograde. He has a square to Vesta on the 6th, which kind of says, you know, you have to change the home, you have to change the family, give it a new focus. Saturn's not doing much. Neptune's not doing much. Pluto has a hard aspect to the nodes of fate. So he's going to be pushing on them and asking them to make some choices on the 12th, next Sunday. And then Chiron's not doing much. It's got a trine to Vesta on the 8th. So that's, you know, helping your house be a little more, you know, friendly. He does get a little bit blindsided on February 6th by Eris. So people can be angry out of nowhere on the 6th. But usually it's because it's the eclipse, it's a buildup problem. You know, whatever's been happening is kind of setting them off. It's been going on for a while. So it's not new, but it's definitely strong. And then Vesta squares, I think I did that one already. Yes, I did. And then nothing with Athena, not much with Juno, not much with Ceres, not much with Hygieia or Astraea. Astraea enters Capricorn. And then Admetos stations to go direct on February 11th. So that's kind of a shift in our structure of how we get there. So that's kind of the week ahead. Mark and Heather and I are going to be teaching a class, which I'm going to put up on my website tonight because I keep saying I'm going to do it tonight and then I don't do it. We're going to be teaching a class the weekend of March 11th on the moon here in New York, different phases of the moon, different working functions with the moon, down at TRS downtown in the financial district. Heather will be in from Minneapolis. There's the conference in Baltimore that's coming on February 14th, and I will be out in Boulder, Colorado in April, and I'll be in Ann Arbor in May. Okay, so that's the travel schedule ahead. And also a Zion National Park doing a beginner class next October. That one would be fun. A number of you have taken my beginner class in I've offered it in New York, I've offered it in Amelia Island, I've offered it in in Vermont. I'm going to be teaching it in out west. So it's 12 hours of concentrated learning. So if you have a friend who's always wanted to learn astrology and you already know astrology and you want to learn some more, there's other teachers teaching too. But I will be teaching the beginner class, and that's all available on OPA, the Organization of Professional Astrologers. So it's definitely worth it. You were going to be hiking in the canyon, you know, put a little vacation around it, and you've got a beautiful time of year to go out west to see these beautiful canyons. So you can fly into Lake George in Utah, or you can fly into Vegas and drive north. I'm going to be doing the Vegas option. Going to maybe see some shows in Vegas before we head up to the conference. But it's definitely worth it, and it's worth checking out. And, of course, the March one on March 11th here in New York City is going to be, you got to know a little astrology to come to it, but it's going to be a good class, and you're going to like it, or I hope you like it. And that's this. We're going to have more webinars. We're going to be talking about those in the weeks to come, and we're also going to be working on the book. I am working on the book, writing the book. So I'll keep you posted on that as there's more to find out. We may be doing some stuff around that. You know, we're having a confab here with my two lovely assistants, Rose and Kate, and my web mistress, Irene. So we'll keep you posted on that kind of stuff. In the meantime, remember, eclipses are meant to clear things, to have you see things, to have you understand things you hadn't seen before. More importantly, they're designed to help you get back on track. We don't always think of ourselves as being off track, but what eclipses do is they're really clear course correctors. They also, because they involve the nodes of fate, they can involve fated occurrences, meaning stuff that's really big that you need to pay attention to. So if you meet people during eclipse season, they can be very, very, very important people in your life. So what you want to do is kind of, you know, keep your eyes and ears open, you know, and pay attention, alert, and ever ready, because there's stuff afoot. The heavens are dancing. And while this week will be a little bit stressed out, it'll definitely have more of a quality of, you know, you're starting to hit your stride, okay? And I will tell you, the crazy it lasts until the end of June, because Venus is going to be retrograde in Aries and Pisces this year, and Mars, of course, is in Aries through middle of March. So we've got a lot of fire in the sky. No unattended candles. Watch where the fire is. Build some spare time into your schedule so you're not running ragged. And then allow for that Cancer energy to be nurturing yourself in a healthful way. And on that bright note, I'm going to hang up and go get some dinner and wish you all a great week of February 5th, 2017. Take care. Bye-bye.